Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I need to update this thing. Anyway, what's good, Internet? It's Monday, October 5th, and you're listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 350. I'm your host, Rob Zachney, and joining me today, we have Ricardo Contreras.
Hello.
Gita Jackson.
Hello.
And Patrick Klepek.
I would like an entrepreneurial Waypoint listener to go back and count, make a highlight reel. Go support highlight reel on Patreon. A highlight reel of the amount of times that Rob awkwardly starts the podcast and then I laugh immediately, because I'm pretty sure it might be like every single one of them, where Rob just grumbles his way into beginning it because somehow he forgets that like he hasn't rewritten the intro every time he hosts the podcast, and then I just fucking lose it.
I don't control this document. I like, so every time I'm like, what's happening in this document? I don't recognize anything.
It's a bad memento sequel where it's like Rob just like forgets what it's in the document every single time, and he's surprised. Don't believe the episode titles lives.
Look, it's hard keeping track of anything right now. Obviously, this is a very solemn time for me. I'm really trying to be present for this podcast, but obviously I am maintaining a vigil, one could say, on the news, sending thoughts and prayers to our stricken president, who I think is getting better. He sounds more like himself. Massive regulation cuts, vote. Space Force, vote. 401k, vote. Law and Order, vote.
Wait, will you get if you vote, will you get a 401k? Is that the implication?
You know, the
your company will do a better match. Vote.
Yeah, he's in the fuck around and find out stage of this re-election campaign, essentially. Fuck around with being exposed to coronavirus and find out that you get coronavirus. I'm gleeful. I'm so happy. I know I shouldn't count my chickens, you know, but it's just I had coronavirus and it was like not that I was very like mild for me. And even that was like one of the scariest things in my life. So just the idea of him laying on his back and wondering if he's going to die, that brings me joy, you know, because I felt that.
Yeah, like nothing even needs to happen from this point, like, because we know this is like one of the most gutless and like useless people in the world. And so if there's anyone not to handle this with any sort of sang-froid, if there's anyone here who's not going to have their life flashing before their eyes at like the slightest provocation, it's Donald Trump, really, who's gonna definitely just be in a full-on freak out. But I'm also, you know, there's a sort of an evil guardian angel around dudes like this. So my
Boris
suspicion,
Johnson recovered.
Yeah. So, but, and obviously, Herman Cain's Twitter account survived as well.
So, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
My dad, I called my dad, and he was like, yeah, I talked to one of my friends this morning, and I said that Trump was probably going to go visit Herman Cain. And I was just like, fuck. Brutal. Father.
Did anyone else find that Friday, when the news broke, was kind of a mental snow day? By the way,
I actually should have just recorded me writing. Like I wrote, I did. I told at the end of the day, I slid into home plate and I said I wrote like 1,100 words on like Super Mario 35. But I have never labored over like just fucking stared at a document for like over the course of four. I was like, this article isn't hard. I've written some difficult pieces. This is just taking a dump after some coffee. Like, just this like shouldn't be like that hard
over
to do.
Your eyeballs that just says Trump has coronavirus, Trump has coronavirus. It was the only thing I could think for the entire day. It was like my head. I woke up and David and I both had a news alert that was the first thing we saw in the morning. And we both said at the same time, oh my God, Trump has coronavirus. And that's the tone for the day. It felt very crazed. I feel like every time I learn about a new Republican that has coronavirus, I get even happier. Like learning that Chris Christie got coronavirus, man. Fuck that guy.
Well, that whole day, where you kept seeing that photo of the Rose Garden ceremony, our beautiful new Rose Garden, courtesy of Melania. Just really nailing it, sweetie.
Melania, fuck them kids, Trump.
Fuck.
One can definitely see while you were sort of borderline C-list during your professional career. Anyway, mm-hmm. But that fucking photo of the Amy Coney Barrett like ceremony where they kept like highlighting different Republicans who are now confirmed to have coronavirus.
It's a whole two first rows, baby.
It was like, man, like we need to trace back like what happened here. And you see like live footage from the event where like all the GOP like guests are like licking each other and like booping noses. And it's like, huh, these people acted really weird for a country under a pandemic.
Man, I really wish they had booped noises. I need that.
Just a little Eskimo kiss, you know, and you see fucking Mitch McConnell. That's the first thing you want to do.
See, I like, see, no, Mitch is evil smart, though. Uh-huh. Mitch, I am certain, has been like, this thing is real. Like, I just need to, like, my brain is the thing that's holding this entire party together. Like, I am the architect.
Yeah.
So as long as he's fine, like, the reactionary, like, neo-Confederate agenda, doing just fine. You know, Trump, what can you do? You basically got an evil toddler who's running around.
And now he has coronavirus.
He does.
It's just like they're obviously not telling the truth about how severe the illness is. You can see that most of the theater they're doing is for Trump because he's terrified. You know, and he thinks that everyone, all of his supporters are as scared as he is. Meanwhile, the right-wing Republicans are trying to spin this is not a big deal. And people like QAnon, they're like, oh, this is the awakening. When Trump gets coronavirus, that's when all the deep state arrests are going to happen. So they're not worried at all. The only thing that's scared is Trump.
I did think it was weird that Trump's doctor said that it's a known fact that only losers with low ratings are in danger from the virus. That struck me as a strange comment for a medical professional to make.
Made a disparaging remark about Kristen Stewart cheating on Robert Pattinson. Whereas Robert Pattinson also has coronavirus.
we will see how this goes.
Hopefully poorly for Trump. Sorry.
Yeah, it's, I can't, I, like... The thing I'm not here for at all is any of the, like, you know, we should never wish this on anybody. Like, man, if your whole life has been, like, making sure people, like, other than you are harmed and, like, wielding power of the state to, like, leave an entire country to its own devices during an eminently, like, preventable pandemic, I don't really, not super into the whole, like, decorum aspect of how we should handle something like this.
You don't get to the point where the entire country is doing a reverse spirit bomb by just being regular. You worked for this. Yeah. you earned this. This is your payment for being the way that you are. So, like, publicly for, like, not just you, but your dad, too. And fucking what Woody Guthrie writing songs about how what a fucking asshole you are. Like, this is a whole intergenerational being a dick. This is karma that is owed.
I'm sorry, I'm really distracted by something because I don't know what this is. There's just a random thing on this Waypoint Radio document. The Hamburglar, crime or direct action? Kato, did we cover that one?
I don't fucking remember.
Did we cover the Hamburglar, crime or direct action question from Andy?
The Hamburglar liberating the hamburgers.
I feel like we might feel about this? Sounds part... I don't remember. I'm the wrong person.
Well, either
to ask,
way,
honestly,
we really need to sort out the question bucket.
Yeah,
but my vote would be the Hamburglar does not have a political agenda. And therefore, he is just a criminal. He is not redistributing.
Or is an anarchist.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he...
More like a nihilist.
He's not a real anarchist. Like, like, being a creator of chaos, the Joker is not an anarchist. The Joker is just Joker-fied. And that's kind of the Hamburglar's bag.
On a scale of 1 to Joker-fied, yeah. How close are we all to Joker-fied right now? I feel like it's just solely... I think Rob is getting pretty close to Joker-fied.
He'd be the first to go. The first to go.
Yeah. Rob's gonna be the first one.
Rob Dunn got jokered. Like, that's... The gang got jokered. No, Rob got jokered.
Rob got jokerfied.
I think... Here's the thing. That
he's gonna show up in the makeup one day. Playing the surprisingly good soundtrack from that movie that I listen to on a regular basis, despite that movie being trash. It's a great soundtrack for writing.
Oh, dude, when sometime off pod, I have to ask you if you've seen Fargo season 4, because 1, soundtrack whips, 2, it's just really fucking cool to see Chris Rock do acting. He's great.
Yeah.
He's really good. Anyway, Fargo season 4 is great. Moving on.
I think I stopped recording Fargo, because it hasn't been on the air in ages. And so I'm not sure I have my DVR set up to grab it. I need to
First two are on Hulu.
Right. Yeah. All on Hulu now. FX.
Yeah, I need to transfer
on Hulu.
Back on Hulu. But right now I'm still on the
FX HBO turns thing. Out every show I've seen on FX on Hulu, that collaboration has been really fucking good though.
So FX has generally been pretty great in terms of it. Like going back to The Shield.
I mean, this is I don't mean to laugh, it's just that when we finally plugged in David's PS4, I was trying to watch a movie and what we found in there was The Shield episodes 1 through 4, just stuck in the discharge.
A DVD, I'm sure, as well.
A DVD,
Of course. Came out on Blu-ray.
One of the things that David was like really concerned, but we had a conversation about whether or not he was going to bring his Sopranos DVD box sets with us.
How did that go? Did you?
It's important to him.
I mean, the thing is, do you need the Sopranos on DVD at this point? Like...
Why wouldn't we need The Sopranos on DVD in this point?
Because if you're going to have a physical copy of it, like, that's on Blu-ray now, surely.
Oh, fuck.
Like, you need a higher fidelity.
We do have 2 PS4s in this home.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the question now is if you need to hold out for a ultra-high def re-release.
Oh, my God.
But those are few and far between. So, we should talk about some games. This is a gaming podcast. We don't like to get political on this show. I apologize for the Hamburglar question. Listeners, I'll try to keep it on topic a little bit better from here. So let's check in on what people have been playing. Patrick, let's start with you. You've been playing a bit of Mario 35. You still into that?
Super Mario Brothers 35 is a limited time sort of experiment that came out last week, and it will, I think it ends the end of March, something like that. It's a riff in the same direction as Tetris 99, which is a game that came out last year, in which you play Tetris alongside, is it 100 people total? I don't know if it's 100 people total. Are part of the 99? Is it 100 people? Is it
99?
Okay.
There are 99 other people.
Gotcha. Okay. And so there are 35 total for Mario's 35th anniversary. That Nintendo arbitrarily decided 35 was the one they really wanted to celebrate, I guess, because it just kind of came around arbitrarily. And it's got a similar setup where in the center you've got your Mario that you're controlling, and then surrounding you are 34 windows into other people's who are playing Mario simultaneously. So you have this, it's like a real visual chaos where you don't see like the full screen of other people, but it's kind of like a tiny little rectangle of like where Mario is jumping. You kind of get a sense of where they're at. And if they've died, then it turns into, says like KO, and then what number they were in the death count. And so you're all running Mario at the same time. You're trying to survive to the end. There are like some very specific quirks. For example, in the upper left-hand corner, you have a coin counter, and coins are basically sort of just like a useless thing in the Mario canon at this point. They're just kind of stick around because there's something for players to collect. But here, at every 20 coins, you can essentially play a gacha game, and you can pull on the slot machine and see what item drops out. And so you can get a mushroom, a fireball, or a fire flower, a star, I think those are the three basic ones you can get. And that can sort of like help you on your journey for survival. You also have a counter going down in the upper right hand corner. So it depends. If you're playing the normal like default game mode, I think there are 30 seconds. And then in the special mode that they have going, I think up through today, there are 100 seconds. And the special mode is where Nintendo can throw in a bunch of arbitrary rules. Like I think you start now with 100 coins in 100 seconds. So it's actually kind of a little bit easier to get going than it is in the normal mode. And that time is ticking down until if you hit an enemy with Fire Flower, you get 1 second back. If you bop on an enemy, you get 3 seconds back. If you get to the flagpole, if you like, you get to the upper like half or so, you get an extra 15 seconds. And so there's this kind of dance that's happening where your interactions with various Mario objects is changing depending on like what is your objective? Is it purely just survival? Is it you're trying to accrue more time? And then playing into that is similar to Tetris 99, where as you completed blocks, you could send that like finished garbage into other people's areas. You could do the same thing here. You have like options on how that is distributed. It can be against people who have the lowest coin count. It's whoever has the most time, folks who are attacking you. So if people are targeting you, you're going to target it back at them. And then I think random is the fourth one. So you can't like necessarily like specifically target one person, but you can kind of like dump it into these groups that you can flick with the analog stick to change it to. And so it makes this like really interesting sort of setup where you can have situations where you know, progression is not necessarily what you want to do. Maybe actually you're in a safe part of a Mario level. You have 120 seconds. There are five people left. Maybe you just want to like chill like underneath this block and just like shoot fireballs at whatever enemies get spawned into your area. And that tension just kind of ratchets up as you go further and further along. I don't know that it's like a successful experiment. Like I think there's not a lot of depth to it, but I'm enjoying my time with it. It's like a different way to play a game that, like, I don't ever need to play Mario Brothers, the original again. Like I've done that dozens of times, so I don't have like a profound desire to revisit that game, but to do so in this fashion, and to currently, I wrote in the article on Friday and it remains true Monday morning that I've not done better than fourth place. And as someone that takes no pride in their gaming skills, except when it comes to platformers, every time I see someone on Twitter who says, like, I got number one, I'm like, damn. It haunts me. Like it's the spooky month, and what haunts me is not the scary creatures of the night. It is the fact that I have not gotten above fourth place in Super Mario Brothers 35. It's spooky. I don't like it. It is spooky. That's how I say that every time that I get fourth place. I just go, spooky.
Is it at least frantic and stressful as hell though? Because that sounds
extreme.
Like
yes. Yeah. Yes. It's because what will happen is, and I write this in the piece, is that part of what makes Mario Maker work is not that it's the best made like level. I think it's a really great like UI and level design tool. But part of the reason it works and part of the reason a game like Level Head, which is on Steam, has better tools, better community things. It improves on a lot of obvious mistakes in Mario Maker that Nintendo has not addressed, is the fact that it's Mario stuff. And so when you jump into 1-1, like the level, like the most ubiquitous stage that has been recreated in anything that has any sort of creation tool, the first thing people do, there's two things. They make a dick, and then they make level 1-1, and maybe they put the dick in level 1-1 if they want to like cross those things together. And what's fascinating is like you go in thinking like, all right, I know this level, or I've been to the first boss stage in the original Mario Brothers. I know how to handle this. Well, what happens when you go into level 1-1 and all of a sudden like four Bowsers have spawned in level 1-1? And so Bowser's like jumping up on the platforms. You can't kill them. You just have to navigate through them, or like a section in a Bowser area where it's dangerous enough to get around like three of the spinning like fireball like sort of like blocks. Well, now that just has 15 Goombas that are just like hanging around, and there's no way to avoid them, which means you then need to like bop on them, which is going to throw off your rhythm. It's going to throw off how you normally get through that area. That becomes the real joy of Mario Brothers 35, is it takes your established understanding and subverts it in ways that are dynamic and different depending on if you're being targeted, how you've managed yourself. You know, it's a, if you knock someone out, so like let's say you send a Goomba to someone's area and that's the Goomba that takes them out. you not only are they no longer playing, but you get their coins and you get their time. And so it's like pretty, as far as I can tell, fairly random on whether you can like get a knockout blow. It seems like difficult to make that part of your strategy. But there'll be instances where like maybe you're up against the ropes, you're running out of time, you don't have a power up that you can like help you navigate an area. And then all of a sudden you look over and like somebody jumped into some Goomba you sent over there, and you've got 300 seconds and 250 coins, and like you're in the money. You can just start spawning new items, and like you can kind of get your play back on track. But I have found that to be the fun of it, is that I constantly want to put myself in danger, because putting myself in danger means I can get more time and more coins. But then you'll just make some really goofy error that like throws off your run from like seventh place down to 14th place. And I almost now understand why Nintendo isn't going to let this run past next March, because it seems like they're just saying, we're not going to add anything to this. This is what it is. Hope you like it. There's not much here. It's a cool idea that you probably wish we would do more with and like then charge you money for it. But instead, it's just a freebie as part of their online service. So I recommend folks check it out. I don't know what to do with this instance that I ran into multiple times, which is when I've gotten into like fourth place and then died, I'll check the other folks that are playing, and it's like these dudes or dudettes or whoever the case may be have 400 seconds, like 500 coins, and they know exactly what they're doing. And I was like, well, I wasn't gonna win. So I know I got fourth place, but I feel like I got first place in my heart, because there's not a chance that I was gonna get first place against these people anyway. So I hit the ceiling on what was possible with the players around me. So I'd be curious what other people are experiencing the game, but that's where I've been at with it so far. I'm enjoying it, but it's I think best viewed as a fun experiment, and one that it'd be nice to see Nintendo do more with, but I don't expect that this game will change very much between now and next March.
That's included with the online, right? That's how you get
Yeah,
that?
Yeah. If you subscribe to their service, which is you know, reasonably cheap, all things considered. But that said, they haven't exactly given away a ton of great games through their online service either. They somehow, the Switch, somehow like the third time around, they still can't do Virtual Console like correctly or make it like a compelling buy. But you know, if you're playing Smash or you know, Animal Crossing, like, you know, you're paying for Nintendo Online anyway, right? Does Animal Crossing require that you have the...
Yes.
Yeah, so I think it's only like $1 a month or whatever. Like, it's not a ton of money, but it does, you know, they don't exactly go out of their way to make it a compelling value. They're not looking at Game Pass and being like, yeah, we should probably spend a lot of money to make people want to pay this. They're just like, well, we put in the bare minimum effort and most people will pay for it anyway.
And you have to buy it. Essentially, yeah. It's just like
what a great place to be. Like Microsoft, like desperately trying to be like, what else? Please, please. Just
so they just spent like $7.5 billion buying Fallout.
Yeah. Nintendo being like, so here's some trash we had lying around. This is kind of an idea. Not sure this is anything. We're not going to develop this further. Here you go. Enjoy.
And assholes like myself are like, well, there's still some you could read into this that is pretty fun and interesting. I'm one of those assholes. So,
speaking of assholes and fun experiments, Gita, you said something on Slack this morning suggesting that kids in your neighborhood are playing Among Us in real life.
Okay, so you, yeah.
What kind of attack the block story? Nightmare is unfolding in your neck of the woods?
So there's this party rental space I live next door to that you might have heard during Save Point. I don't know if you heard that.
Wait.
They were playing Tap In by Sweetie and WAP Uncensored like they do every single week. Very bold of them to play Wet Ass Pussy on this block every weekend.
I love it. Did you know that there was a party rental? Like, did you note the party rental space next door when you selected the apartment?
We're under lockdown. When we moved here, businesses weren't open. So when this business opened, we were like, oh, it's that? That is the business that is. Okay, cool. The one thing, though, is like, because it's like an actual business, I have to, like, they follow regular business hours. So the noise is over by midnight every night. So it's really not that big of a deal. If I close the office door, you can't hear it in the living room. We just hang out. It's like, why would I be in my office playing video games in the dark on the weekend instead of hanging out with my boyfriend? Not that I've done that before, but you know, that's the theory. Anyway, so you can hear everything they do when they have a party next door. And sometimes they have, like, children's parties in the afternoons, which are much chiller, quieter, and, like, very sweet. Because when I'm out in the backyard, like, checking out the plants and feeding the stray cat that I'm trying to figure out what to do with, or desperately crying for my own cat who's escaped my house, I can hear the children playing. And one time, they didn't remember the name of the game, and they said, "Let's play Imposter." And I was like, wait a second. I wonder if they're about to. And then one of them shouted, "I'm calling an emergency meeting." And I was like, okay, yes, they're literally just playing Among Us with the same, like, they made up same tasks mechanics to do. Yes, the same exact mechanics and the same exact terminology. It was fascinating to see that, like, you don't often get, when you're a person who is spending all their time inside because of a pandemic and also just doesn't know anyone with kids who are of speaking and playing amongst each other age, you don't really have an understanding of what parts of culture, internet culture, disseminate into the real world. All of these kids have watched Among Us streams for sure. Like, they knew exactly how to play the game. And they referred to, like, people going out of the airlock and stuff and going in vents and, you know, the specific kinds of mini games you'd have to play to do tasks. It was really kind of amazing. They voted. They voted. They stayed silent until the voting time. It was exactly like playing the game. And I just, wow. Like, I know, like, you look at, and now I've just taken notice of this game. It's Among Us is of a genre of games that I know that I don't like very much, which is those bluffing games where you have to be mean to people. I like to be nice
to
people.
Werewolf and the like.
Yeah, I can't, I just, like, I can do it in person. I could do it in summer camp because you knew all those bitches. But, like, I can't do it, like, online because I just don't. I want everyone to be nice to me. Like, I could play Among Us if the game ended with, and Gita is the queen of the spaceship and she wins. That would be very fun for me. But since then, you know, I was mildly aware of Among Us being a phenomenon before having that experience. But now, every time I go on Twitter, I'm so much more aware. Like, there are two games I think that are approaching, like, Fallout-esque, Fortnite-esque ubiquity. And one of them is fucking Among Us. One of them, like, might be Genshin Impact, where just everyone you know are just playing these two games. But Among Us is
surprising. Among Us just come on and go, like, hey, Fall Guys, get out. Like,
yeah.
Goodbye. Like, you thought you were the surprise hit. Like, you know what? No, it was a game from, not a new game that was all polished and ready to go. And, like, we really thought through how we're going to roll this game out. We're going to catch people by surprise. Nah, it's Among Us, a game that a streamer brought back to life by randomly playing it on a stream. And now it is that studio then had to cancel the sequel they were making because people aren't going to want to buy the sequel. They're going to just kind of keep playing the original game.
Yeah, I know. Like, this whole story, this game, like, is such a, I mean, it's such a testament to how fucking fickle, like, the audience of people who play games in this way are.
Marketing. What do you, you want to reveal that marketing is mostly bullshit? Well, then take a look at the success of Among Us.
Yeah. I mean, if you look, it really is like, it is just like a, basically just a purchasable version of a game that you can play without any of these things. And the stuff that they've added to it is really good. Like, having the tasks to do, it adds a level of bluffing that you can get in an online space that you really can't, like, otherwise do. Like, Werewolf can be fun, or Mafia also can be fun when you are with each other, and the it's very, like, person to person. You can observe someone's facial expressions. That's not really possible on the internet, and, like, there's also the possibility of you just not knowing the other people who are playing very much. But you can learn how someone plays a game much quicker than you can learn, like, how they lie. And it's always very interesting to watch. I mean, I miss the legendary Chris Kindred game of Among Us, but it was interesting to hear the way he manipulated everyone just by knowing the mechanics of the game extremely well. And I think that's what people are responding to, but it also makes it like there's now a broad culture that is just Among Us memes. I've seen Among Us fan art I've seen Among Us,
so much fan art.
Among Us fan comics of like, here's a red guy who's an imposter that's trying to save this blue guy that he loves from other imposters.
It's always so, okay, so the premise for this is, and then like three paragraphs of setup for like a two-panel comic. I'm like, fuck off.
I know. I mean, my favorite one recently was just an imposter discovered screen, but the imposter's name was Hope Hicks.
That's a good, yes, I saw that one. That was fucking gold.
Like, I do feel like this is an instance, look like Pokemon Go, where, like, by understanding this game, I'm being able, like, I learned a new language of how people talk to each other. And that, for me, I'm never going to play Among Us again. But that, for me, is, like, really fucking, that whips. I love it.
So, I also think there's an element of, so, like, trader games have been big in tabletop space for a while, but I think they also often run into a problem where they require learning a whole lot of mechanics as well. Like Shadows over Camelot as an example, but even that one is a little bit like meaty. Battlestar Galactica was popular for a time, and that one has, if I recall, some really intricate rules. And so it takes a lot to get to the, like, well, we're all trying to do these shared cooperative tasks, but somebody here is sabotaging us. It takes a while to sort of get to the point where everyone has sort of the game knowledge to figure out, like, to read the state of play. Among Us short circuits a lot of that because it is so simple. And so I think it really does, like, boil the experience down to its essence, which is just, what is the minimum viable game we can create to set up people accusing each other around the table? Like, that's the moment we want to get to. And everything just funnels toward that. I think it's going to be a tough formula to repeat or copy, I think, in some ways, because it is like such a distillation of, there are some people who just really love to lie, like our friend Chris Kindred, just lives to deceive and disseminate and obfuscate his misdeeds, and that and some people are wired that way. Not making any judgments. If you are a secret monster who just likes,
I can't even jokingly tell David that I don't like him when he, like, plays a prank on me or something. I say, I hate you. No, just kidding. I don't hate you. I love you very much.
Yeah, this like, this was why my wife and I and our friends got into Werewolf for a little bit some years back, and it was fascinating. Fascinating to watch my wife play it, because she would acquiesce to this immediately. She cannot lie to say, if she had to save her life by lying, we'd have to find a different way to get out of the situation, because she wouldn't be able to do it. Like, she just is incapable, and that speaks to her warm, glowing heart, but it also means that, like, deception games are, like, fascinating to play with her, because the whole time I'm just like, you don't know how to bullshit. And so on some level, are you using that against me, or are you just barely holding it together? And it's always just, she's barely holding it together. Yeah. Like, what? Like, if she manages to get through a round without, like, blowing, like, her cover, she, like, doesn't want to be the werewolf, because being the werewolf is so much pressure for her. And so
if you're just like I know when I'm forced to be in that position and I have to do mean things to my friends for the sake of a game, like, by the end of the round, the first thing I have to say, like, it's been at the tip of my tongue the whole time you're playing, was, it was me, I'm so sorry.
Right.
I, like, didn't mean it.
When we were playing games, I'd see my wife, she's like, oh, she's spent the whole round rehearsing the first thing she's going to say in her head, and she can get through that part, but then the moment there's any pushback, it's like, ah, oh, well, you got me. fold the cards, dang. You saw right through me.
I was a bit upset that apparently I'm incredibly easy to read. Like, the minute I would fake anger and take umbrage and accusation, Patrick would just be like, oh, okay, that's done. It's wrong.
You said like, four forevers, and I wanted to defend you because I was just feeling ornery. But the moment you said four forevers, and I'm like, that's just Robert being theatrical.
Well, because one of the things with Rob's personality that I picked up on, I could exploit in this game, is that it's not like he'll overreact. And so even just accusing him, I can figure it out. I thought I could figure out pretty quickly whether he's being truthful or is like, man, he's trying way too hard. And it was like so easy. It was like, oh, you're trying too hard. Like, oh, you're really doubling back on this.
Meanwhile,
in a way.
Suddenly he comes out with like a skull and he's like doing a soliloquy whenever he's like, that's what Rob's reaction is when he's trying to prove how truthful he is being. It's like, I have written an entire monologue about my worth. Like,
meanwhile, Kato can tell you, I was doing tasks.
Yeah.
In the exact same tone of voice as to whether he was literally just doing tasks or whether he is currently covered in the blood and gore from like his shipmates in the exact same tone. And
he's,
I'm like,
Guillermo from What We Do in the Shadows. Look, I swear. Listen.
You know, you get a lot of practice being a DM. You get a lot of practice bullshitting on the spot. So
just
I kind of channeled. Yeah, I just kind of channeled that real well in that game, apparently.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just couldn't handle it. One, had no idea what I was doing. I just was like, okay, here's a video game. And then two was like, no, I have to lie to people and they're going to be lying to me? Someone would lie to me?
The thought of like playing that as like an 8-year-old or something at a kid's birthday party just sounds nightmarish.
Oh my God. Those, like, one kid did get pretty mad. Like, right. And they had to be reassured that they were still friends. Like,
it's just a game.
It's just a game.
Now, what's weird is I had that happen to me, but it was a teacher who did it to me in the third grade, and I've never gotten over it.
What?
Wow, I also would never get over that.
Holy shit.
Yeah, wow. No, what? I had kids telling me to confess, and, like, I was innocent. Oh, shit. Am I seriously not told the story? Okay.
No!
If you have, I've forgotten and you should tell it again.
All right. So this is like one of those, here's a little key to me. Like, here's my heart. There's a little keyhole and I'm about to hand you a key. Like, here.
Learned
like,
a how lot do we, about Rob
yeah.
today.
So, yeah. Third grade. Third grade is when I start like indicating I'm maybe not a super great student. Spelling books, man. Like, I know how to spell. You want me to do all these exercises to prove it to you? No, I'm going to be a writer someday. Of course I know how to spell. So I, like, that's the year that I sort of fall behind on a lot of, like, the bullshit schoolwork you get in third grade. And my teacher, Mrs. V, really, like, she, like, assigned a surprising amount of homework for a third grade teacher, like kind of a weird amount of like coloring exercises. So I just keep falling further and further behind. So this is the first time I get a note back to my parents. And I'm like, uh-oh, this is bad. What do I do with this note? Here's what I don't do. I don't give it to my parents. I just jam this thing in the bottom of my backpack, yeah. Enjoy my weekend.
Yeah.
And so... teachers like, I expected to hear from your parents. You know, did they get my note? And I was like, yeah, they're taking it pretty seriously. And she calls and they're like, what note? And at that point, like, all hell breaks loose. And it's the first like, oh, you deceived us. You were not honest with us. That's the thing we're really mad about. You weren't honest with us. Okay, blah, blah, blah. So cut
definitely
to,
mad about that homework, but also.
So cut to like 2 weeks later. One of the treasure objects of our classroom, like weird fixations in this classroom. Classroom had both the mechanical pencil sharpener and then there was an electric pencil sharpener.
Oh,
but like,
shit.
Wow.
That is a valuable object. You have to be responsible with that electric pencil sharpener.
Lux shit.
Well, because at that time it was very, very easy to break them, right? Like you could kind of like. If you weren't like gentle with it, you jammed. Yeah, I remember a similar dynamic.
Yeah,
playing out in so, just like, hey, if you're gonna go use that, you got to be one of the good kids, or else you know, like
so,
Johnny who's drooling in the corner. You cannot put you're putting the pencils in your nose. You can't put that in the electric sharpener.
Pat, you anticipate so much of where this is going. So one day, the electric pencil sharpener is mysteriously broken, and upon opening it, Mrs. V discovers that it is just jam-packed with Crayola crayon residue.
Oh, no. Classic reason that it would break.
No. And so it turns into, like, it is mutiny on the, it's the Kane mutiny time, right? Like, Captain Queeg is calling the officers to the wardroom. What the fuck happened to the strawberries? She's like, recess is canceled. I want to know who did this.
For this $25 pencil sharpener.
Dead silence, like nobody's copying this. And she's like, I want to know who put crayons in the pencil sharpener that you know you have to be careful with. Nothing. And she's like, okay. Well, I don't know for certain who did this, but maybe there's somebody who has a little trouble being honest.
Maybe
doesn't take responsibility for their mistakes. Maybe that person should think about telling the truth so that they don't punish their classmates.
It's a leap of logic.
Wow. This story had gone around, by the way. So, like, the whole note thing, like, people knew that it had happened, etc. So, at this point, kids, like, even my friends turn around and are like, Rob, just fucking, like, just
take
it. What you
just
did.
Just take that.
Just admit what you did. And one of my friends is like, dude, it doesn't even matter. Just fucking, like, let's go to recess. Just say you did it. Who gives a shit? And I was like, but I didn't do it.
Oh,
this
no.
is fucked up. And we all know it was Crystal anyway, because Crystal, like, if she's not busy eating glue, she's, like, jamming crayons and light sockets. Are you telling me we don't know it's Crystal? Of course it's fucking Crystal, guys.
God. Yeah.
And so...
this explains a lot.
Yeah. And so, long story short, like, I'm just
Rob
like...
Rob Zachney was born on this day in third grade, February 6th.
I'm like, fuck you. I didn't do shit. Like... I don't give a shit who broke the electric pencil sharpener. Not my problem. Okay? This is fucked. And indeed, like, eventually, like, after two missed recesses, the matter was forgotten. The pencil sharpener was, like, eventually cleaned off, and it was fine. Whatever. And then
of course it was.
A year later, like, I did discover that it was not Crystal. It was Crystal's friend, Lindsay, who was trying to frame Crystal for doing something. It just didn't work.
That's so funny.
Lindsay was sitting there the entire time trying to figure out, like, how do I redirect this onto Crystal? Fuck. I think it's... She's like, if I say anything now, they'll know it was me. It's just going to have to leave
Rob
terrible,
the twist.
Kids are
terrible, man.
And that's Among Us, baby.
Kids are bad.
That's it. Dude, a situation of stress I don't want to be in.
Years later, after, like, when we were about to all go up... We were all about to go off to college. There was, like, class reunion back at our elementary school. And
what? They do that?
Not really. It was just kind of a comeback to the old elementary school, like, and have, like, tea with your old teachers. And Mrs. V was, like, the only one of our teachers who was left there at the time. And a bunch of the guys from my class were, like, so many of them were like, I'm going to fucking tell her off. I'm going to tell her off. Like, fuck her. I hate
her. What?
And I was like... She's an old lady now, guys. Like, I hate her too, but she's an old lady. I'm sitting there and, like, everyone just seething in the corner, like, she ruined my fucking life. Like, think about what she did. And, like, somebody remembered, like, Rob, remember the fucking pencil sharpener? We're gonna go tell her what she did to us. And I was like, that is an old lady now. I'm sorry. Like, we are men. We have grown. If
how many years from
if we go over there and grow and get in her face, it will prove that we are always going to be trapped by Mrs. V. I'm not fucking do it. I'm gonna go have a nice conversation. In retrospect, kind of wish I'd told her to fuck off and burn in hell, but c'est la vie. It was a pre-Trump world. I was nicer then.
I have one particular memory of getting a letter home and my mom being like, it was in high school. I was being accused of bullying. This also, here's some secrets to Gita's brain. Being accused of bullying, the teacher did not tell me what I was doing wrong, just that I was behaving in a click-like behavior. My mom had a sight. The letter didn't explain shit, just said that I would be removed from class if I didn't stop doing the click-like behaviors. My mom was like, this is weird. I'm going to call this teacher, white woman, as you may have guessed, to ask what I was doing that was click-like. And she said nothing that could illuminate this to my mom. What was solved the problem was going to the head office of this woman Pam the Crying Hawaiian, who was the head of the creative writing department at the small art school I went to. We call her Pam the Crying Hawaiian because she was Hawaiian, and every time she had to give a speech in front of us, literally every time. So at least twice a semester, at the beginning and the end of the semester, she would burst into tears about how much she loved all of us. And at every and it at first was very endearing. And then you realize she did it literally every time. You've got a bunch of like 16-year-olds in a room who don't understand what empathy is, and they're like, 3, 2, 1, she's fucking crying. She's crying again. And my friends are like, listen, we've been in trouble with Pam before. Don't worry about it. Just cry. Just go in there and cry and nothing will happen to you. And I went in there and I wasn't sorry for doing the things that I did not know I was doing that were bullying. So I found it very difficult to apologize efficiently. And it became clear that, like, yes, literally, she was going to keep me in that office until I cried. So I just stared at the clock she had on the wall that was covered in seashells, because of course it was, and just thought about, like, some real sad shit happening, like being broken up with, even though I hadn't really dated anyone at that point. But I imagined it would be sad, and I cried, and I still don't know what I did.
Wow.
I feel like I feel like growing up, a lot of us, there's like a weird angst around, like, we don't want cliques in this school. And in retrospect, I don't get why there was a fixation on cliques. Like, why did we all learn that word as like a thing to look out for socially?
It's bad for girls to have friends, as you can see, especially if they're black. So,
these girls, they're in a clique. Oh, look, Rob's found a crew. That's great. Go, Rob. Yeah. Go hang with your boys. All right. Speaking of, we should take a break. After all these revelations and confessions, we should take a little break and go to commercials so we can tell you the absolute truth about some fine product.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Speaking of getting with your crew, Kato, you've been getting into Star Wars Squadrons a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Little bit.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty fucking all right, honestly. Like you mentioned last podcast, the campaign in that game isn't much to, you know, write home about, but holy shit, the multiplayer is amazing and really what... Like, they could have released just that as a multiplayer game and probably knocked off a couple bucks and it would have been great. Yeah, I've really been enjoying it. I'm kind of getting into the like speedier class of ships. Really like zipping around and just like evading things. I've actually unslotted my anti-missile stuff for, I forget what it was now, but because I've gotten really good at finding corners to like drift around in like the A-wing or the interceptor.
Yeah.
That you know, the missile just like slams into whatever I'm like moving around because I'm moving too quickly. It really feels so much like the kind of imagined dogfights that I was having in Battlefront 2 back on the PS2. It's like this is actually what I thought I was doing back then, right? Yeah, I don't know. I like, have you, how much more have you been playing since we last talked?
I've mostly been playing multiplayer. Because these campaign missions are a bit of a drag. Like, yeah. It's fine. It just isn't, there's just not much there. I find the characters not, there's, the reptile guy. He's supposed to be sort of your funny wingman, but I just kind of hate him. I just kind of I do not like the reptile. I hate the reptile. In fact, I hate everything about him.
I don't think I even know who the reptile man is. I've only done 2 missions.
Reptile man is just like He's sort of the squad, like, fuck up and malcontent or something. He's like the shady one. And so, because it's Star Wars, like, he's introduced with, I guess the Rebel Alliance is the last group in the galaxy that doesn't have a death mark against you, reptile guy. And reptile guy is like, yeah. And I'm like, this sucks.
Wait, is the reptile guy actually Salacious Crumb? What's going on?
It very much, like, the reptile guy is like, if you it's very much like the Idle Thumbs caricature of, like, the treasure goblin. That is basically your wingman in this fucking game.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's just, I just am not a fan of the dude. And so every time, and, like, the first thing you, like, you click on your squad mates to talk to them, and reptile guy is like, just starts telling you about how he got in trouble, like, passing some bad, like, forged art. And he was like, how did I know that the moth was going to show it to Grand Admiral Thrawn? And I was like, I can't with this. I just can't. Like,
no,
this
I can even, keep going. Like, can you just do a whole podcast with that voice?
Novels. Yeah, it was. So, reptile guy, not a fave. But multiplayer, it's good.
Can you, Rob? Can you tell a podcast version of a story that you put out on Twitter that I almost privately mentioned to you? And I was like, Rob, now when we talk about blogs, when we talk about content, this tweet thread that you've just done is a fantastic, like, A+ example of something that if it was 500 words, we'd be very happy to publish on the website that we run. But if you'd like to relay that story here, I think it would be good.
I, turns out, have a little bit of a knack for flying the starfighters. I'm not going to say I'm like Wedge Antilles good.
Out.
I'm not going to say I'm like Soon Tier Fell good. But like Mindono's good? Could be.
Austin is not here. Where are some of these references being directed at?
I know who Wedge is, at least.
Yeah, I knew that one. I heard that one. The last one that he compared himself to, that could be like a trash alien from the prequels, for all I know. I don't know.
Well, I could also be, Hobby or Jansen. Those two. Like, I'm sort of in that tier. Okay. Does that help all you? Right.
Not really, but
what about Porkins?
Yeah. Well,
that's,
no, but
that's
I'm kind of
me.
No.
I'm Porkins. first shot down at the gate. That's me. And then I get my legs. Once everyone's already
just
out.
Just
but like, I go
once.
To. Yeah. Just.
I can
just
hold
like
it.
In real life.
Porkins, buddy, like, you're not holding it. You should probably just eject, man. I mean, sure, you'll get caught by the blast of the Death Star exploding, but, you know, you won't die in a starfighter crash. Anyway. So, yeah, I've been, I had, like, my first real, like, dogfight with one person where it was like, oh, there's actual, like, it's between me and this other pilot now, and the game's gonna hinge on this type moment, which was, I was in a dogfight game, and usually these things have a certain rhythm to them, but I was just getting, like, destroyed right and left in this game, and my team was losing really, really badly. Dogfight mode is a first to 30 kills mode. And my team was just getting demolished, pretty handily. And I checked the scoreboard, and because I've noticed I keep getting killed by like this one enemy pilot. And yeah, they've got somebody on their team who is like, we're only, a few minutes into this match, and they've gotten like 10 or a dozen kills.
Jesus.
And they've like,
is there a 4v4? Is that the most
5v5?
Five. Okay.
So like they're a long way to like already just winning this match. And this one pilot is just cleaning up, right and left. And I kind of figured, I was like, what was happening to me was I was like targeting somebody and getting on their tail. And then every time I was getting picked off immediately. And so I realized, like, somebody is out there doing what I'm usually doing, which is watching for people who are, like, really fixated on a target, and then you just come in and blast them. That is, if you look at, like, the history of air combat tactics, that's generally, like, what makes an ace pilot, is you don't dogfight people, you just sneak up on them and murder them, and then you fly away. And so somebody's out there doing that. And I realized, like, okay, I just got to be on this guy. Like, this other hunter is, like, tilting this game. And the only reason it's working is because nobody has, like, got their eye on them. And they're always getting these opportunistic kills. And so I just spend the rest of the game, like, every time I'm cycling through targets until I bring that pilot up. And then I'm just on them. And it takes them a little bit to realize, because now I'm doing to them what they were doing to me. Like, they are picking up targets and I'm just dropping in behind and killing them. And it takes them a couple deaths to realize, like, oh, I am now being hunted as well. And from that point, it turns into me and this other pilot basically, like, fighting these series of running fights through. We're in a map where there's, like, a lot of wrecked starships and, like, debris in the middle of the map. And so we are playing this game now where we're hunting each other through this debris field and ducking in and out of, like, the husks of old starships, using this wreckage for cover. And while that is happening, my teammates start to mount a comeback, because without this guy, like, tilting the entire match away from us, my team's a little better. And so things start to swing back toward us. And meanwhile, I, like, am steadily getting the better of this person, because I have one advantage, which is I was trying a new piece of equipment, two new pieces of equipment. I had switched to a laser system that was, like, it's more like an SMG, I guess. So it's, like, really close up, high rate of damage. And the other thing I did was I got rid of missiles and I got a radar cloak, basically. So I just vanished from sensors. And so what that would do, this is a game where you're really dependent on sensors. Like, if you don't, like, usually you can't readily see who is shooting you. You need your targeting system to tell you where people are at and, like, sort of steer
especially
you toward
if you're
them.
The Empire.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in the rebel ships, you can kind of look around. You can, like, do the free look really quickly and try to get a beat on someone. But it's the Empire. Like, you have that one viewport right in the middle, right straight in front of you, and that's it.
Yeah, it's such an issue in these games. Like, I think it was, I don't think I've ever seen it. That was an issue in the old X-Wing games, but it didn't really matter because that was all being meant to be, like, you were just staring forward out the cockpit. Yeah, Imperial fighters suck because of those big wings. but yeah, so I had this radar cloak, and so I could just disappear from sensors for, like, 10 seconds at a crack. And so I just keep... I would be, like, hunting this person. I would get close, and then just as they start to realize that, like, I'm near, I would hit my sensor cloak and just disappear from their sensors. And then I would drop in and gun them down. And so it turned into, like, a really tense, like, match of cat and mouse between me and this character. And team ended up, we were, like, one death away from losing the game. And we were still down, like, several points. And we just had to, like, play lights out. And we managed to make this comeback because every time this dude dies, I'm immediately looking around, okay, which of my wingmen are in trouble? And the other team was so fixated on just getting these last few kills that they were all tunnel visioned. And so in a weird way, yeah. I think the match was getting easier for us as it went on because it was sort of like... the other team was on the goal line and we're just calling runs up the middle again and again. Like, no, just punch it in. We just need to get on the board here and we're done. And they just weren't able to do it. And trying that again and again just made them more vulnerable. But yeah, it was like the first time I've had to pick out another pilot and be like, this isn't just a melee now. It's like between me and this other person. And it was really cool. And that's squadrons.
Yeah. What ship are you flying most of the time?
I'm also a little bit... So it depends. I think in dogfights, I'm either like an interceptor or a TIE fighter or an A-wing or an X-wing. Generally, I prefer the faster ones. In fleet battles, where you're sort of bouncing between the two lines of starships, of capital ships, I'm... taking more bullets for the team and playing like supports or bombers. I also did discover like the bombers have some weirdly powerful abilities because they can't dogfight for shit.
Right.
And I'm almost like, I'm not certain about this, but it sort of feels like maybe there's a little bit of game balance where like they're trying to make it so the bombers aren't totally disadvantaged in these games if they don't get cover. And so they created a lot of weapons where like if you're in a bomber, you can just demolish people incredibly quickly with just like fleeting shots on them. And so weirdly enough, the TIE bomber has become one of my best craft because they have like a really high rate of fire laser weapon that just like mows people down. And you don't need to be like, you can get them pretty much dead in like one firing pass.
Damn. All right.
Yeah.
I have to check those out. I tried to play a support in a dogfight once and it did not go well. Because I don't think anyone really understood what I was there to do. And so I didn't have any, like, help. And also...
were the help.
Yeah, I was the help, but I needed help not dying so that I can help them not die. But they didn't know that. They were like, oh, I'm getting healed? Why? How am I getting healed? I don't know. Which I think is actually really fun. I'm like, I'm glad that that class exists. And it's just, it feels like a class that... absolutely means you have to be like in party chat with someone for it to run well, because you need that extra level of protection. Like, you're not going to be able to dogfight on your own. But I played against a team that was very obviously on comms, because I was getting 1-2 punched by a support ion blast and then a fucking missile coming in like the second after. Like, there were definitely people like deciding to like group up and like fly together, which, when you're playing with a bunch of randos, we got demolished that round. It was like 6-30 or something ridiculous like that, and I could not, because I kept getting hit by that combo. That's the one thing where I feel like the further I get into it, the more I'm like, I really want to see if I can get a full group of five together to like, because that seems like it would be like really, really fun. To like know everyone and like have actual strategies and like call outs and stuff.
Kato, I'd be honored to be your wingman. Dead what? Silence. Okay.
Did I lose?
Oh, well, Rob? I think we lost Rob for a second there. Rob, are you there?
Rob?
I thought Kato was just rejecting my offer to be his wingman.
Kato,
what did you say?
Honored to be your wingman. And then dead silence. And I was like, oh my God. It's happening again. Oh my God, I'm in third grade.
Oh, no.
Kato, can I play Squadrons with you?
Yeah.
Icy stare.
Absolutely. No, yeah, like it's I'm reaching the point where I feel like if I keep playing by myself, I might fall off of it earlier than if I like end up finding some regular people to play with. So
It is weird,
we should like, definitely play together.
That little bit of coordination where a team has a, like, where they're actually using their support does completely throw the game off.
Yeah.
If it's present on one side, not the other. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, I had a game where I was like, these guys are just, like, fucking healing. Like, they are getting so much help from this dude. They're getting shield buffs. Like, I am winning these fights. And then they're scurrying over their support and, like, just getting re-upped.
Yeah.
And my team, meanwhile, had none of that. And so, yeah, the support's kind of a weird wild card element in that game. A real joker in the deck, as it were.
Mm.
So we just crossed an hour. Anything folks are dying to talk about before we wrap it up here?
Because I'm not going to want to bring it up again. I just want to circle back around to... I finished like a week or two ago, but I forgot to bring out the podcast. I finished Don't Nods, Tell Me Why. They're sort of like three-part series from some weeks back that got a lot of attention because they were very quickly happy to brag about that game having a trans character at the center of it. It's boring. It's just a boring-ass story. Just not particularly interesting.
Vindication for Dia yet again.
No, yeah, Dia, I mean, it's like boring on all fronts, you know, it's just, there's just not much there, and maybe that, you know, Dia's core point in the review was, you know, in going out there and, like, bragging about having a trans character, that scare them from, like, going to interesting places with the story. Possibly, very possibly, given the fact that I've generally liked the other stuff that Don't Nod has done. At this point, they have so many different teams that... like, it's, you know, it's unclear to, like, sometimes you can kind of, like, figure out, like, you know, oh, these people, I tend to respond to their work more. You know, I really liked Life is Strange Two, I know, Gita, I believe that you also responded to that season quite a bit as well. I think
loved it.
I never got around to writing this piece. I spent, like, Rob kept bugging me multiple times, like, are you gonna write this or not, so I can take it off my fucking list of stories that might run. I just never got around to it. Was that, like, that, man, that slight spoilers for Life is Strange season two, like, there's you know, a sequence in that game where, like, it talks through a parent that decided they didn't want to be a parent anymore, ran from their kids, and, like, gives the woman space to talk about what it's like to have regret as a parent and not necessarily just unconditionally love your kids and want to give up everything for them. It was, like, a really, like, you just don't see stories like that in video games. And it was, like, handled with, like, real tenderness, and gave even allowed the characters who were, you know, the kids directly impacted to be like, yeah, well, fuck you. Like, we didn't have a choice in that. Like, it was just, there was, all that stuff was really, really good. Yeah. And boy, that season got lost, and people just, it took too long for it to come out. It, you know, didn't have Max and Chloe. I get it. I get why it didn't, but don't play Tell Me Why. Like, go play Life is Strange season two. And there's, I think there's a lot more there. Even just basic things like, and Tell Me Why, you know, the main sort of, like, hook they were doing for, like, the kind of mechanical difference of how you interact with the environment was, like, oh, you have these two kids that grew up together, and, you know, they remember things differently. And then there are moments where you choose, like, well, how are we going to remember this? And it just has, I know it does, I believe it does influence sort of how the conclusion can play out, but it just felt completely pointless. It felt like a mechanic they came up with and went, like, yeah, like, this could be interesting, and just, it doesn't do anything with it. It's just a boring ass story. You know, I'm not gonna you know, if folks are, you know, looking to play a game that includes you know, an identity that we don't normally see represented in games, like, you know, more power to you. Like, you know, there is stuff to be mined from it. It's, like, a really pretty game. It's well acted. Like, it's just one of those things that, like, the moment I finished it, like, the reason I didn't bring it up was because I completely forgot I played it the moment that I was done with it. I was like, oh, and then when Rob was like, I hope we have enough for a podcast. And I was thinking, like, what else have I played? I was like, oh shit, I finished that game, but never found the energy to point it out to anyone or even write a tweet. So that probably tells you, you know, everything. Just go read Dia's review. And then all I have to say is, yes,
pretty much.
Correct. Yeah. Pretty much. You know, but again, it is one of those things that if you have Game Pass, like, it's not, I didn't have a bad time with it. I don't think it's bad. It is just very much in the, like, when you load up Netflix and it's like, there's nothing I really want to watch. But you know what? I do like those games. Like, I like Life is Strange. And it's like, if I want to play another one of those, like, tell me why.
It's a lesser CW, you know, show.
And it is one of those. Yeah. Like, it's just like, this is, you get out of it and go, that was fine. And you don't remember it. You don't want to write a take about it, but it's not like it didn't have worth, but it feels like a content. Like, it's, I think we're going to see a lot more of that stuff on Game Pass in the same way that the only way a service like Netflix can survive, like, to fill enough holes, is to just, like, have enough of, this is good enough. And Tell Me Why is, like, is that? It's like, it's fine. Like, there are worse ways to spend 9 hours of your life, and it was fine. But I don't know. Whereas, like, I'm like, Life is Strange season two, go play that. Tell Me Why is like, if you got Game Pass, sure, download it.
It's sort of like, you know, gossip. It's hard to reach the high crescendos of Gossip Girl. But hell, plenty of people liked Royal. I'd never seen that show, but plenty of people liked it.
Sure.
Must be good for something.
There's a totally, like, decent season of Rain that is worth seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I believe that. I believe, you know, I like that. That there's, like, there are different tiers of fluff, right? Like, Gossip Girl is a fluffy show, but it is, like, bonkers. And the writing is very funny. And there's actual real moments of human connection between the characters that become very engrossing. It's easy to get attached to these people, even though they're all fucking psychos. That doesn't always work with every CW show. That was a perfect storm of character, acting, writing, source material, and just, like, what New York City was at the time that they could mythologize so easily. But, like, there's been plenty of attempts. I remember the LA Complex. I watched the entire two seasons of the LA Complex, which is about 20-somethings trying to get famous in Los Angeles, also aired on the CW. It was going to be a Degrassi spinoff, but they didn't make that work out. And it's, you know, it's got some interesting shit, but it does not hit all of those melodramatic notes as artfully as Gossip Girl does. But they're still interesting. I feel like
sometimes you just like a form. Like you just yeah, like I just like is. This type of thing. And I do. I just like the I like what Don't Nod does. Like this one didn't hit particular highs for me personally, but I was like, I'm not upset I played it. I like these types of games, and sometimes that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's like being a fan of horror movies, right? In the month of December,
I watched Silver Bullet,
like,
Stephen King's werewolf movie over the weekend. Oh, the werewolf.
You can send your questions to gaming at Vice.
The werewolf beats a man to death with a baseball bat. Why?
Keep us so on good. Twitter why at Waypoint. I'm literally, on Twitter at Rob Zachney. Kato, where can people find you?
God damn it.
At @A_Kato_appears.
Gita.
You can find me at XOXO Gossip Gita. And I also just wanted to say that I love Halloween and I'm going very excited for this month. That's all.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be good.
When is this company going to finally get me the equipment I deserve, like a 12-foot skeleton from Home Depot that is now sold out and goes for over $1,000
on eBay.
I can't pull the trigger on it.
The 12-foot, you needed that skeleton so much. Think about how much little Jessica would love that skeleton.
Traditionally, the way we have bought Halloween stuff for the house is you wait till like the day after Halloween and then you can scoop up stuff, you know, from for next year for cheap. From the, I wanted to call it Planet Hollywood, but what are those Halloween stores they put up? No, Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Planet Hollywood of Halloween stores, to be fair. Why Hollywood even exist anymore? Those used to be everywhere.
Yeah, there was one next to the old Geo Media office, which is where everyone went to drink after Mutant Meeting.
That makes sense.
Wow.
Yeah. But those used to be like ubiquitous in a way that like, they were in like a lot of like the big malls. Like there could still be another one. I don't think that's the case anymore. That's, you know what? Hey, when the world gets normal again, can we all just go to the Planet Hollywood? Like that would make me happy. Uber, take me to the Planet Hollywood. The fact that this got so popular makes me excited that next season, what are everyone planning now? It's like, what we need is more 12-foot motherfuckers. And so next year is just going to be, the price is going to get driven down. Yeah. And you can charge $300 for a 12-foot skeleton because that's all that's available in the market. But next year, lots of 12-foot skeletons.
Oh, yeah.
And
Patrick
werewolves.
Can have two or three.
I don't need to have a treat, Rob.
I can
have a feast.
A little
12-foot, skeleton holding a Black Lives Matter sign in my conservative Northwest suburban town. That's the dream I want.
Yeah,
Rob.
Listen, you're here to attack and dethrone God, so might as well make it obvious. I watched Come and See. That was the scary movie I watched. It's not a horror movie though. It's just a Soviet movie about war, so it's pretty fucking scary.
Oh, I've heard that's horrific. Yeah.
Yo, it's really good, especially the scene where they all stand posing in front of a camera, singing a Soviet war song about fighting Nazis. This is the people's war. It's great, and then everything goes to hell. Nothing good happens after that.
Is that on Criterion?
Yeah, it's on Criterion. I bought the Criterion edition, actually. I think Stalker, though, when I watch Stalker, I'll come back with Halloween content for all of us, because I also got that Criterion edition.
The man, the Stalker, the transfer Criterion did for Stalker is game-changing. Like, you haven't seen the movie before if you haven't seen this transfer. It's amazing. Our music is by Bowen. It's the track Miss You off the EP Pale Machine.
Where can you find Patrick? It doesn't matter.
Bowen. Patrick, it occurs to me though, your 12-foot skeleton, that is your equivalent of people who are trying to buy a joystick and throttle right now.
Sure.
A lot of people with squadrons are like, fuck, I need a HOTAS.
Well, my guess is you can't get one. Well, probably because just a squadrons. My guess is that is just a ripple effect from Flight Simulator.
Flight Sim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I saw a lot of that in Flight Sim. It was just like, well, this thing normally costs $150 or whatever, and it's like I'm just gonna eat it and pay $225 because that's what like the third party seller is. I think Gita, that happened to you with like the webcam.
Yeah, webcams.
Like, the Logitech webcam is only supposed to be like $60 on Amazon.
Yeah,
remember you said you paid like $200, and I was like, oh no, that's
I paid
the going
at least
rate
twice
is.
That. Yeah, yeah, I paid at least $130 for this webcam. But hey, this webcam doesn't shut off my entire computer, so I love
that's
that.
Good.
That's good. That's good.
We all love that.
See. Commerce, well.
In the world we're trying to build.
It's working.
in the world that comes after, webcams for all, a menagerie of 12-foot tall monsters in every yard.
Hoe tosses on every desk.
This is what they meant when they said from each, you know, to each according to their need, from each according to their ability. This is a definition, you know, to each a 12-foot skeleton, from each a 12-foot skeleton.
Marx feels like somebody who absolutely would have been on battle stations being like, hey guys, check this out.
No, I mean, so this is my racing setup. Long Capital is like Marx and Engels were just posters. They were just posters looking for a place to post.
And if you would like to post with us, you can head over to our forum at discourse.zone. We'll be back later this week. I think this week we're getting deeply into Hades.
Hades cast.
So yes. Everyone hurry up and complete a run because spoilers will be activated for that cast.
I can't wait.
Shit, I gotta complete a run. Fuck.
Yeah, get on it, Cobb. Come on. What are we doing here? All right, we'll talk to you all on Thursday. I'm out.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I'm out. That's the one you came up with?
Yeah.
He's out. Okay.
Listen, man.
Look. Look, it's hard. It's difficult. You gotta peace out.
Rob just goes straight to typing. Just not.
Look, you realize that dudes was potentially like a little bit othering and you were like dudettes. And you couldn't even like find a gender neutral. Come on, Patrick. What are we doing here?
See, this is what Rob does. You want to see Cotto, keep this in. You want to see a demonstration of Among Us in action. Rob just immediately deflects and goes straight to like, oh, here's the thing that you kind of fumbled during the podcast, you dipshit. All right, that's it. All right, good podcast.
Good, yeah.
Well, it was short.
We love to podcast here.
Let's tell you what time that is.
Sure thing. Well, I closed this tab on this article I never read from Friday. Why Radiohead are the blackest white band of our times.
Excuse me?
You need to read that? I don't think anyone needs to read that.
Wonder why I didn't finish reading that one.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, I mean, I fell for the clickbait. Slate has a younger generation of writers
for it. It was at The Guardian.
Oh, same. God. Look, it's only Dwight's there. That's the thing. That's a real Dwight opinion, you know?
They got me. I saw that headline. I was like, you know?
I would have clicked on that, too. I absolutely would have.
I gotta see your lead. I need to see.
I need to at least understand this argument, wrong as it may obviously be. Like, why did you choose to write this?
The inherent blackness of Pablo Honey.
Oh my god.
In this essay, I will.
Look. There is no blacker white man than Thom Yorke. That's just facts.
What? Yeah. There's nothing really says soul to me like Thom Yorke's like angry cat caterwauling. Like, not really singing, kind of just talking weirdly over a beat.
He really went to school on Etta James. Just incredible. Just incredible range.
You can really
training.
Hear the Nina Simone influence in his voice.
Yeah. Now watch. Just like, this ends up being like a really like subversive, persuasive essay and like just sitting
there. Oh god, next week you come back and you're like, well, I actually have some
actually,
news for you.
Actually, we're doing the waypoints on this essay. This is my submission.
Wow.
Stop the Hades cast. We're talking about this Guardian essay.
Stop the presses. The podcast presses.
Weirdly, Patrick shows up wearing kente cloth to that show.
You get in contact with Pelosi's supplier.
Just tell me what she wore. You know, she's not going to wear that again, so.
Yeah, exactly. I can have a copy of it.
God.
She's not going to wear that again.
I forgot that happened.
You got me. Anyway.
All right. Time dot is. Let's go on 30.
Sure.
Got it.
All right.
Love to podcast.
Kato confirming this is episode 350.
Yeah.
And it's Monday, October 5th.
Shit, it's October?
Yeah. You can wake that dude. September's over. Sorry, that sucked. Anyway, I'm looking at an old episode title that says Some Asshole with Hands. So, whatever.
That's still in there?
Yeah, it's still in there. I need to update this thing. Anyway,